Alright, let's do this one more time. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. You're listening to the number one podcast in education across the Spider-Verse, Steambox. Are those my Jordans?
Hi, this is Roberto. You're back with another Steambox podcast. Today I'm with the Steampunks, my homies from Highlander Charter School. Highlander Steampunks, please say what's up to the world.
Yo!
Hey!
One thing you want to do different for next year?
I agreed with Delvin, because last year...
We met twice a week.
We met twice a week, and we had one day for planning, and then the next day, like, because we had Mondays and Wednesdays, we had that day for actual podcasting. And that would make our podcast a lot better.
You would want to spend two win block days with me?
Positively.
Yeah. I hope, if you guys have Wynn next year, I'd love to be here during Wynn. We're talking about after school stuff, but I like being here during Wynn.
I was going to say that my favorite thing would be just, you know, giving in my perspectives, hearing other people's perspectives and debating on what it is that we believe in. Something that I would like for the podcast would be, like, the listeners coming in, like, hearing the listeners' opinions.
More fan interaction.
We talk on this podcast, like, with Mango, Salami especially. I like to think that we reach out to a lot of people and, like, when people listen to our podcast, especially a younger audience, it helps a lot because I know, like, sometimes I, like, think something and I there's nobody I know that could really get my perspective on that because they know how I feel.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said, what we liked about Google.
Are you joining me this whole time?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Oh, my God. That looks so good.
It's distracting for me as I go. But no, go ahead. He's got the
one
top
thing that I liked about it. You get advice on what to do and what not to do in a relationship. So it's like a starter pack, basically.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
Man, I really think that's important. I know you guys are of the age. You know a lot of what to do. Like for your first kiss, do you guys know what to do?
No.
You don't know what to do, right? You just know that your face touches their face.
All I know, you gotta make this smooch noise. Oh my God, I remember stressing.
Yeah, it's so anxious. Because it's like, what am I supposed to do? What if I did it wrong? What are you going to do? You know? It's like, you overthink it, and you're like, oh my God, this person doesn't want to speak to me no more until they text you.
I don't know. First verse is crazy.
But there's people that have so much experience that they're like, okay, then this is normal.
Something I feel like we should do next year, I feel like we should definitely meet more than once a week so we can get more interviews with other people and, like, grow a platform more.
Do you know that just 2 weeks ago, you were number one in the world? For 2 weeks in a row... 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, you were number one in the world. It's going to be hard to grow from number one.
You know, it would be hard, but if we keep growing, we can stay at number one for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true, too.
My favorite moment, I think it was when we met Victor.
Favorite moments just in general are, like, when we're able to talk about, like, sensitive topics. And, like, always we have our jokes and laughs and stuff.
Yep.
And at the end of it, like, we're not, like, making fun of everybody for their opinions and stuff.
We have a new superintendent, Simona Simpson Thomas. It's like a superhero name. You got that alliteration happening.
I love it.
Simona got her start. Simona, why don't you tell us where you got your start? Because I find that truly interesting for you to be walking in here today on your second week of being the superintendent of this building.
Yeah, so full circle moment for me. I actually started here student taught at Highlander Charter School. Back, I won't even age myself, but I went to the Brown MAT program, and this was where, when I was Greeley Street, so that kind of gives you some context, that's where I started teaching fifth grade. And so this is a overwhelmingly, I don't know, surreal moment for me in the fact that it's full circle. So I was a teacher here. I taught for 12 years. So I started with fifth grade and then went up and looped because my parents loved me and loved my students. So I looped seventh and eighth grade. And then I helped a lot when we shifted from the Providence campus and needed to expand the high school to come in here as well. So part of that 9 to 12, director, multiple pathways, all the good things here, but 12 years of some solid time at Highlander in understanding the mission, the vision, the values, and some of the people. So I might have been your aunties, and that's also aging me. Some of you, like I know your aunts because I was their teacher.
Wow.
Or uncles or cousins, yes.
I had like one question. Do you think you would be moving? Do you think the thought process of moving any teachers from the lower school into the Warren campus?
Oh, straight to business.
Like, do you think it would be a possibility to make that happen?
Is that something that you want?
Yeah, because I'd say growing up in the lower school, I had close bonds with most of the teachers. So, you know, having them here would be fire, too.
So you're asking a complicated question, but a good one. I think what I'm hearing, one, there are certification rules around it. So sometimes people in the lower school are certified in their elementary, in their content area, so they're happy to teach in that area. But what I'm also hearing you bring up is the fact that there probably needs to be a little bit more of a unity between the two campuses. And I think because they're separated and you have the elementary level over here, the middle and the high school. But I am excited that we are thinking about some programming that will allow for some of that unity. So, yes.
Will you have to be like passing your class or would it be during school time for that program?
So what you're talking about right now, actually, you're jumping right into it, is we're looking at, actually, Highlander was awarded the Diversifying the Teacher Workforce Grant. And so what that pilot is in partnership with URI. The big piece is finding educators because we need educators. We need educators that look like the students, right? So the big goal is how do we build that joy and excitement on this campus because we believe that you all are the right educators and give you the experience at our lower school campus. So there are some that's already piloting. Some of them are taking classes right now and getting college credit. But how does this become something that you all are aware of is my job to figure out how we're building awareness. How do you know what the opportunities are? Even if it's just because I miss my teachers in the younger level, there are opportunities for you to coach and shadow. And actually, and I'm going to just keep talking, one of the things that's exciting about that is that's how I started as a teacher. So I actually grew up in New York. Went to New York City's public schools, went to Westchester schools in New Rochelle, and I had a program similar where I got to go back from high school and into my fifth grade classroom, and then I shadowed my fifth grade teacher and I became a teacher. So that's kind of the idea to your question of what we want to build out.
When you're working with staff, there was I know you had worked in Providence recently. There was a report in 2019, the Johns Hopkins report, talked about how toxic and racist among so many other deficiencies Providence schools is. And I've worked in Providence. And so right now I'm asking you to call out everybody who's bad. Let's name them right here. I'm not asking you to do that. but I might do that. Bully Norman, that's an actual teacher who I've seen call students the N-word. And what happens is when a teacher like him, and not an isolated incident, I've seen multiple teachers use that word to students hard on. What happens is leadership can't do anything about it because these people are often protected by the union. Now, I know this is a charter school. Does that work any differently here? Or is it conceivable that a teacher here could use a word like that towards a student and you would be powerless to do anything about it?
No, I don't think just the way you mentioned it earlier about my fight attitude. Like, I don't think that that's something at all here that there I would be powerless. I think that that is a red flag. It goes against our mission. So we are talking about a school that is really focused on social justice and empowering Black and brown students. So if those are words that are being used towards our students, then absolutely it is my job to, one, interfere, two, put the correct actions in place and go deeper and understand what is going on because it's a direct contradiction to what we're supposed to stand for.
I appreciate that. For the record, I want to point out, I've been around and I tend to fight in a lot of those situations, even my partners who are like giving us a contract to work in the schools. But I have to admit, I've actually been shocked when the students had low morale here in this school a couple of years ago. And again, the morale feels a lot better now, but I'm sure they could tell you all the things that they want to see better and bathroom doors and stuff like that. But I haven't seen anything that extreme here, for sure. I just want to point that out. You had a follow-up before we get to our next question.
What actions are we going to take to make our school a social justice school? Like, build more onto that, right? What actions are you going to put in place so we could get there?
Yeah. So I was prepared for the action question, and I'm going to be real with you all. The way that I lead is collaborative. I don't just want to come in and say, here's all the things that we have to fix. In the back of my head, there are some things that I definitely want to lead with. For example, where's the training? What is it actually even having a common definition for social justice? I think it's very often that we say, well, where is social justice school? Is that still from the folk school learning and the civil rights? And what does social justice look like for us today? So those are some actionable steps that I really want to take. But I also want to be able to understand what that looks like from the teacher's level, what that looks like most importantly from you all, and what your definition and expectations are of social justice. So that is kind of the action, is to listen, learn, understand, but also keep in mind and make sure that we're up to date with, like, what does social justice look like in 2024? It's a lot different from 1960s.
For real. Udalen, for the world who doesn't know, Udalen is in this room. She is one of the many leaders and many incredible contributors in this room. She's also leading our mental wellness effort for May the 4th called Joyful Rebellion. And any of our listeners can find out more by checking out our social media at SteamboxRI. High school aged youth can get involved. It is going to be a dope day. It's going to be free. Also, another leader on that program is Adelisa, who you just heard from. Udalen, what's your question?
So as an empowered African-American woman, what would be something you would say to the youth that want to grow up and make a change in this world? What would be something that you would tell them? Like, if you would sit down with yourself, being my age, what would be something you would tell them? So I'm getting emotional because I think about what I tell my kids. So I have two boys. They're young. One is in kindergarten. One is in fifth grade. And every day I tell them to be, one, not let anyone take away their joy, but that also means not letting anyone kill your spirit. And so there is a thing of spirit murdering, or people telling you that what your dreams are is not attainable. So the first thing I would tell you is everything is a possibility for you, and not allowing the negativity to really disrupt what you believe in yourself. And then also, and it has taken me some time, really being comfortable and confident in who you are. So know yourself first, like really at the core. Do that identity work, whether it's in school, whether it's at home, reflecting, so that you're confident in who you are, so that way you can disrupt the negative narratives that are gonna come as a Black woman.
Because they're gonna come and go.
But you know who you are. And then once you get that, be all the way unapologetic. But make sure that you're educated and you have all the resources so that you can step into rooms with that confidence.
Quickly, go.
What would your consequences be to a student if they had called another student the hard R?
Is this a Black student on another student, a Latino student on another student, or a white student on another student?
White student on a Latino or Black.
Okay.
What do you think your consequences would be for that?
So consequences, even that word, I'm kind of cringing about. I think everything has to be like logical and it has to make sense for it to be meaningful. So for me, that's an opportunity to learn. So you're calling us this, you're calling that. Well, I'm all for community partners because I'm not the only expert, and I'm going to be tapping into the needs of the community who has the resources. How are we helping this student? Where's the context for this information? What's the learning? And the consequence for me is what's the follow through to make sure that whether it's a training series that we agreed that this student needs, that those resources are available and in place.
I can't wait to talk a little bit about an organization that you founded in a moment. When I founded Steambox, it took a while. Providence is really slow. The bureaucracy in Providence Public Schools is really slow. I had to have a full-time job while I was working Steambox full-time before I could even get paid for the contract that I already had. So I was working in a group home. And you guys have seen group homes and the adults there, and they're always like body slamming kids and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They teach you this stuff. I not once put my hands on a student while that was a regular thing that I saw other adults doing there regularly. I completely believe in positive reinforcement, and I completely believe in respecting your space and being able to talk to you about it. So I really appreciate that answer. I think we got common threads. There's another area that's probably a little darker that we have common threads. I went to see a play recently. It was about some Providence stuff, and they actually brought up some of my roots, like my family stuff.
La Broa,
yeah.
Oh my God, I wanted to watch it.
You saw it on opening night?
Yeah.
And so watching this, right? Like watching this, is it feels weird because you know it's your family history.
Yeah.
But when it's your family history and they talk about this blue house on Messer Street, which they mentioned in the play, I started bawling. I started crying the whole play. I was a mess. I was looking for tissues because I didn't want it. Like, my toxic masculinity is afraid of letting people see me cry. But my grandmother lived in that house. And my grandmother had passed recently. And my grandmother was my everything. And yeah, we have that common bond. I realized that your grandmother passed recently. We want to pay respects to your grandmother, offer our support. But how bittersweet must that be where you are having this complete full circle moment in life at the same time that you have such a family loss? Were you able to process the celebration and the loss together?
It's an emotional question, and I see myself tearing up. So obviously, there's still emotions there. Emotions for everything you just described. We're Jamaican, so my grandmother, born and raised in Jamaica, came up here. I have my own immigrant story as well. I actually wasn't born in this country. I was born in England. So she came up as, once my father settled in with my mother, I'm going to come from the time I was 3 years old to now my age. So watching her, she was beyond a presence in my life. She was also sassy, right? So she always would tell us like jokes and had her own little humor. And I built that relationship with her outside of my very strict and religious parents who loved us to pieces, but recognized coming into this country, their mentality was, we want our kids to be educated. That typical immigrant story where she balanced and helped to balance me and us. So yes, it's very emotional, but I also feel a sense of pride. Like, all right, she can really look down and say, like, my grandchildren are doing it and really making me proud. And you asked about, like, your advice, unapologetic. That woman was completely unapologetic. And so now in this full circle moment of celebration and joy, I'm trying to, like, spend time reflecting more about who she was and what she means to people so that I can continue to follow in her footsteps. I'm excited. The celebration piece is going to happen because I'll be away in 2 weeks because she wants to go back to Jamaica. She would not want to live and be buried here. So as a family, we made it very clear that we're going to respect her wishes. And so it takes some time, but we have put together a date, and I feel like that will allow for me to continue to get the closure that's needed, knowing that she's being buried in the land where she was from.
I don't know if it ever really fully comes, you know what I mean? Because here I am well over a year later and just absolutely sobbing. Next question.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
How about brand? Half-baked? So Ben & Jerry's.
Hands down. I love chocolate.
Isn't what?
Ben & Jerry's.
I don't know. I love chocolate. Half-baked has like the brownies with the chocolate chip. It's probably not the healthiest, but it's my jam.
I've had it once. It's too expensive. It was like $5 or something like that.
Yeah,
a little half.
You're not wrong. I took students to Vermont. We made our own Steambox Ben & Jerry's. It was a dope trip.
So I just have like a bunch of questions because you're our new superintendent and stuff.
Is it rapid fire?
What do you like? So you're our new superintendent. What do you plan to like change in Highlander? What do you bring to the table, basically? What are your plans?
So I think, and you could forgive me, maybe this is just me, I have been known for really making sure that I'm thoughtful in bringing in student voice and understanding that you all are critical to the day-to-day. So the first thing that it already sounds like you have, but really elevating what student voice actually looks like and feels like here. I don't want to overpromise that the time, but right now I am really interested in conducting or bringing together a youth advisory board to the superintendent and really learning myself, like, what does that mean to actually have decisions, what implementation looks like, what student voice actually looks like at a leadership level. So that's something that I'm super excited about. Timing, not sure yet, but that is something that you can completely hold me accountable for.
You got a follow-up?
Are we going to open international travels for more students in the school?
I'm aware of one experience with, where do you all go?
Ireland.
I would love it. We were kind of talking and joking in the hallway about the international experience. It takes a lot, but I want to make sure any kind of new initiatives, and I'm going to be real, has to be grounded in our mission. It has to be why. So if it's about social justice, it's about learning, and it's leadership development, it's empowerment. You all have to make the case for why you want these experiences, and it has to align back to who we are at the core. Then I'm all for it.
Yo, I'm just telling you, they can do it because our students are like, oh, we want to interview the people who make anime, so please take us to Japan. They'll lay down the foundation. They just need to make it work and align it with what you're doing, because that aligns with what I'm doing. I see a bunch of follow ups, so I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3. Go ahead.
So with the GSL trip, I'm part of the GSL group.
What is GSL?
GSL is like Global Service Learning.
Okay.
We're gonna go to Ireland to get to know their culture, and they're gonna get to know ours. So my mom is a little bit strict, so she's saying, "I can't go because I don't know who's there. I don't trust nobody there." And with this new superintendent, will you be somebody that my mom could come up to and be like, she's going to have my back? Like, can I be like, Miss is going to have my back because I can go and my mom could just, yeah, you know, I hear you.
Student advocacy.
Student advocacy, absolutely. I want to make sure, too, I have the mother in me. So you can see a little accent coming out. I have the mother in me as well, which means I'm not going to promise anything to parents until I myself feel comfortable as well. So I would need to explore all the questions that parents are naturally going to have because we worry about you all, and then make sure that I, too, feel comfortable. I used to have a reputation here at Highlander. We used to take kids to D.C. I was a teacher that locked the doors with tape at the end of the night, and they're like, oh, Mrs. is not going to play. I'm not. I'm very serious about it because you are our babies, and I'm a mother. So I will want to make sure I feel comfortable, and then I will share that with your mom.
I feel like I have an idea for a trip. A trip to Washington, D.C. for our history or, like, civics classes.
Are you pitching trips right now?
Yeah.
Got limited. Please, make it quick.
A trip to Washington, D.C. for our civics or, like, history classes, because most of our history assignments are revolved around, like, the government and the House. So I think that would be a really good trip, and we could learn a few things from there and people working in the House.
This dude's trying to storm the Capitol. What is your follow-up?
Can we go to Tennessee with the high...
Are you suggesting
those linemen? Let's go to Tennessee because that's where the Highlander Folk School is originated from. And I feel like the more students that go out and pick up things, we could come back to the school and build it. Connect with the roots because I'm going to be honest with you, the school doesn't... I do what it
just found out about the Highlander Folk School this year.
We don't even talk about it. Like, I found out about it this year. And that's something important.
You had another question?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have an answer? That's going to be an ongoing? Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I was just doing research, and I found out you're the founder, you're the CEO and founder of Freedom Dreams. I just want to know more about that.
We all do.
I want to know about that.
Believe it or not, so as you said, I worked in Providence after I left in the school department. During the time of this takeover, it was 2020. I felt like that was a time for me to reflect. I'm a reflector. And I started my own business, took a whole leap of faith. The reality is I also try to be in tune spiritually. And I promise you, it was a dream, right? So that's why I'm like, what's going to be the name? What am I actually going to do with this organization? And that's how the name Freedom Dreams came. Then in terms of the work and what we do, I know that I've worked in a number of systems, and one of the things that has continued to remain true is the fact that we don't always do right by our Black and brown students. So what does that mean for me in terms of the organization? How do I work with districts to really support and elevate student voice? But most importantly, what does that look like for the systems, the types of programs that we're building? How do we make sure it's actually meaningful for youth? I've done some strategic plans for quite a few community organizations in the time. I've helped to build out some of the programs in the Central Falls School District that allows for youth to feel connected to someone outside of just a teacher. And then I've worked a lot with the Rhode Island Foundation on this work of diversifying the teacher workforce. So what does that look like? How do we bring more Black and brown, multilingual, trilingual folks into the classroom? And then how do we continue to grow? So that has been Freedom Dreams. It has been a blessing, but also time for growth. So it is going to still be a part of my portfolio. But I'm happy to say that I actually have hired a former Highlander student who is an adult and who is a teacher who now will be running the business.
Bang. Bang.
It's all coming full circle.
Full
circle.
Who is the student, if you don't mind me asking?
So her name is Betsabel Vasquez. She's very grounded in the community. She went to Highlander. I taught her as a fifth grader, taught her older sister, taught her younger brother, know her mother very well, and watched her grow. She went to Cornell for undergrad, university after, and then came back and said, I want to be an educator, and said, how the heck did you do it? So I've been kind of coaching and supporting her along her journey, and now I don't want to spill her news. She has other things to share that's not my business to tell, but she's growing and she will be an amazing leader who may be one day her own superintendent. So this is me providing her the leadership opportunities, and I met her right here, not this campus, but Highlander.
Is that part of what you're bringing to your role, where your connections with these students, you want to stay connected with these students for future opportunities?
Forever. Once we are together, it's a forever thing. The alum are so excited to come back to figure out how they can help. Some of them are in their doctorate program, and they've been in my classroom. So I am just the first thing who's like, this is forever. When we connect, we connect.
You had a follow-up.
I think everyone is wondering this, but will there be any change to the Yonder Pouch situation?
I have had debates with students about my own personal feelings. I want to hear more. One person had proposed a pilot.
A student wanted to create a pilot?
A pilot, because my immediate reaction is I'm a mom first, and I can honestly see the change even in the education space with technology and the phones. I don't want to limit you from your learning, so I get the balance. But oftentimes, I don't know how connected the use of the phone is to your education. And I'm torn, especially now I'm the one that's held responsible for, are you achieving academically? So I don't know the answer fully about full change. But one student had proposed a pilot to say, those who want to learn, they're going to learn. But how about trying to see, at least at the upperclassmen level, how we are able to navigate doing our work while also building new systems. So I'm waiting for his proposal to see what a potential pilot would look like.
I'm hearing room for negotiation. I want to throw two things out there. One, you mentioned as a mom. Also, as a dad, my son goes to EPI, and the day that Central Falls got Yonder Pouches, so it's fresh on my mind because all my students are complaining about the Yonder Pouches in Central Falls, that same day there was a stabbing at East Providence High School.
Oh, I think it was there.
It's the middle of the day. It's the middle of the school day. Now, what do I want to know?
Safe.
Is my son safe? Now, you call the school, you're not getting anything. You can't go to the school because it's blocked off, but police and all this stuff. And there was a lot of misinformation, even from the police in the city. I was able to text my son, are you safe? And he was able to say, yes, I am. Thanks for asking. Here's what happened. There are safety concerns. There's a connectivity that I understand can be distracting in class. But I also want to say, since we're developing and doing a lot of STEAM work and a lot of creativity work, the skills that we're learning, the skills that I learned as a sound engineer for 4 years in school and paid all that money for at Emerson, those skills are now a prompt that I can put into an AI. The idea of using technology is really what I need for the future, and what I think a lot of you need for the future too. And I find it backwards to take away the technology that we're going to need for the future. I just put in a cell for you guys. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All those stuff are really important and things of that nature, but my main concern is, can you DoorDash here? Like, can you make it so I...
Two, go ahead.
That's valid.
What's it called? When it comes to the phones and stuff, it's very unsafe because we keep our phones as evidence, and we could take videos on pictures of what it is that is going on if there is a serious situation. And when I was at my old school in Gilbert, we had our phones, but let's say if we're using it, we could put it in a pouch where it's over there, but we at least have access to our phones and we're not using it in the classroom. So we're still focusing on our work, but we have our phones. We're going to other classes, which something serious could happen.
Did you ever meet David Opeki?
Yes, science in Central Falls.
One of my heroes.
Yep.
You could give a PlayStation to his class, and they are still going to pay attention to him. He's a master professor, and I really feel like if our students are so distracted by technology, maybe we need to step our game up as educators. You had a follow-up, too.
I agree, but I also disagree with Yonder Pouches, because, yeah, kids get distracted with their phones and whatnot. But you know how, a while ago, kids had their phones out, but there wasn't really much with Chromebooks? Now, when a kid has their phone, it's just they put their Chromebook up and they put it here, and then the teacher can't see.
You snitch it. Why are you
snitching? No, it's
obvious. Obvious information, and that's, like,
it's very obvious, because the kid loves to grab onto the side of the computer,
regardless, it's not touchscreen. But,
well, as a hacker, they say if you can make it, we can break it. And they're talking about all these restrictions. You can make all the restrictions you want, and we're going to find ways around it.
Yeah. I
hear you.
A break out of Gold Guardian.
I want to apologize. I definitely want to get back to the line of questions. But we have about 4 minutes, and I have about 4 questions left. So rapid fire, and I want to get back to our guest. Too much pressure?
What is something that you've seen, that has been done in other districts or in other schools that you want to implement in our school?
That's a great question. I've definitely seen some cool work on anti-racist training and what does that actually mean to move beyond, looking at our policies, our practices.
I've seen that in a lot of districts that I really want to make sure that we're up to speed with that. I've also saw some cool programs. I highlight the one that I say all the time in Central Falls, particularly because it's a really cool way of bringing in alum and graduates from the community to then give back to the school in a way where they're paid.
But shout out to Lesden.
Shout out to Lesden. Right hand, love her. So those are some of the things that I've seen in districts. And then their pathway work is really cool as well. So I've seen some of those things, but those are two that come first in mind.
Problems.
Overall, are you coming to Highlander with a big idea of change, or like, is it something you're here to work with? Like, oh, I'm staying here for the long run and I'm going to work little by little by little. Of course, things take little by little by little, but are you here to make like a big bang that are like changing our school environment community, or are you just here to like, you know, take it step by step?
That's a good question. I think it's both. And I feel like the big sell for me about Highlander is the mission and the vision. So the bang work is like, where have we evolved and what does evolution look like, particularly grounded in the existing mission? So yes, I'm here. I also am a person who is committed to the work. I know change doesn't happen overnight. So this 1-2 year thing is not enough to be able to measure change. So I do want to stay and feel like this is a welcome home experience, but centering in a mission statement that already is pretty dope to me.
Change for the better. It's something that I believe in so much. I named my son Kaizen, which means change for the better, revolutionary. What are three things that need to change here at Highlander? What are three things that you want to see change here? Let's take Yonder Pouches off the table. We've already talked about Yonder Pouches. We know that you want Yonder Pouches changed. Give me one.
A different variety of uniform.
Yeah. Work on that.
All students of council is actually taking a part with PAP in the school board to see if we can add black pants into our uniform. Not essentially take away from our uniform, but add to it so there's more opportunities for students. So when students either have a bad, because khaki is stained terribly, literally the worst type of material. So we're looking for an alternative where kids are like, women are able to like go through what they have to go through and not be scared of being out in the hallways and being in trouble with dealing with whatever.
You got student leadership right here. What's one thing that needs to change?
Mental health. We need to focus more on what it is that a student feels going through a day. You know, there's people coming at you because of whatever. You got school, you got 5 classes on you, you got to do a whole bunch of homework, you got stuff going on at home. We want to focus on what it is that we love to do.
Okay, we're going to stick with two for now because we're out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity to, once again, what was that organization?
At freedomdreams.info on the web.
Okay, at freedomdreams.info. Hopefully we can team up, Freedom Dreams, with our May 5th event. But what's one message before you go? Everybody, please stay for just a moment. What's one message you want to send to the Highlander community?
I am excited to be here, and I don't want your voices to be unheard. So please, let's find ways to connect so that way I can elevate what is coming up from the students and the families and then start chapter 2 of what this school is going to look like. So
are you a come see me? Are you a come see me kind of superintendent?
I'm trying to figure that out. I want to be. Yeah. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm creating a calendar. My first step is meeting with as many people as I can so that I can understand what needs to be changed. And that definitely is students. So I'm working with Mr. Paps because he's the leader of the school to make sure that I understand your schedule so that I can also invite your voices as well.
Simona Simpson-Thomas, you are off the hot seat. Highlander Steampunks, please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.